You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Just hope that you enjoy being with us. Brother Charles, I know you're going to have a special for us, and you'll enjoy that.
Thank you, Leland. I can always tell when we have several new people, because y'all don't realize this ain't church. I mean, yeah, we sing gospel songs. That's what we do. That's because we love the Lord. But this is not like a regular church service, so you don't have to sit all tight like that and everything, and you don't have to be real quiet. We want you to make a joyful noise, if you would. We're going to do one of those. You'll notice while you're here, the songs that we do are mostly songs that you probably heard your mother, your grandmother, maybe your great-grandmother, granddaddy do. And if you went to church when you were a child, you heard a lot of these old songs. We do those on purpose because, not because they're old songs, but because they're the good songs. They tell the story that we all need to hear, whether we realize it or not. We need to know, number one, God loves you. Number two, Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you, and he wants you to love him back. That's all he asks. If you do that, you get to go to heaven. Man, what a deal. What a deal. Well, we're going to do a song that talks about heaven. I call it home. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, just let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Someone says you can't go back home again, and things will never be as good as they've been. Well, I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well, let me dream on. I'm gonna do it. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home.
if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Over in the Old Testament, the first, not the middle of the Bible, a little to the right of the middle, long book. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to the book of Isaiah, you're going to need one. Isn't that smart? You'd like to have one, lift your hand. We'll see if you get one. Let me say this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible here with you, let that be the rec room's gift to you, a Bible. We'd like for you to have that one. And just then don't leave home without it. Isaiah, we're going to start in chapter 1 and then move from there to chapter 53. Some people call the book of Isaiah kind of the fifth gospel. It's got one of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ in it, written 700 years before Jesus was born. It's been one of the greatest soul-winning passages for Jews any place, because the Jews do not believe that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. But it's hard for them to bypass the 53rd chapter of Isaiah with that. Throughout the book of Isaiah, he draws a picture of people, just whether it be Jews or Gentiles, Baptist or Methodist, Catholics or Democrats, whatever the case may be, is just a picture of people. And we're going to start there. We're going to start with our condition and look at Christ's condition, and then we're going to look at what we've done and what Christ has done. So in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, in verses 5 and 6, he said, "Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint." We've pretty well drawn a description of the United States in 2014. The head's sick, the heart's faint. He said, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." They're just left open and draining, is what he's saying about people. Putrefying sores. I mention this often, but none of us have any problem admitting and confessing to imperfection. We'll all say we know we're not perfect. What we don't want to say is that we're full of putrefying sores, that we're filthy, like the psalmist describes us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we stand around debating over who got the shortest. Now let me tell you something. If you missed the plane, you missed the plane. It doesn't do any good to stand around out there at the airport and argue about who got closer to catching it. The plane's gone. So, here is mankind's position that Isaiah points out to us, the Bible points it out to us. We find it Genesis through Revelation that men are just sinful. We fall short. We fail. We don't ever make it. Now then, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and there's 12 verses here, and we're going to probably not read all of them, and I was really tempted to do it because in these 12 verses, Jesus takes our place 24 times. That's an average of 2 times per verse. But Jesus Christ takes mine and your putrefying place, mine and your filthy place, mine and your sinful place. But he said, "Who hath believed our report?" Beginning with verse 1. "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. For he, this is speaking of Jesus, now you can see that as we read it. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Notice he said he's just like a root out of a dry ground. He just no form or comeliness. I'm sure that many people thought the Messiah would be like a rock star. Come straight out of Hollywood. Jesus Christ came as a carpenter's son. Jesus Christ came with no credentials. Jesus was just an ordinary, everyday type of guy when you looked at him. You did not see anything any different about him. This is Jesus. Nothing special. We have people out there. Most of the time in Christ's life, he was crucified when he was 33 and a half years old, and the way you discover that is by seeing how many of the Passovers he went to. And he started out at 30 doing that. But Jesus Christ was not, he did not go to rabbi school. In the last few years, some people come out and say, well, Christ, the reason it doesn't mention Christ, he was off in rabbi school. No, he wasn't. In fact, he told people don't even call folks rabbi. Not supposed to call them that. It's not rabbi. He said, I don't want any titles. I don't need any big shot stuff. Christ, we just stayed in oblivion, with the exception of one time at the age of 12 years of age when he went into Jerusalem. That's the only time he's mentioned outside of his birth. So most of Christ's life, 30 years of it in essence, nobody talks about. Nobody knows anything about. No big deals. He was not groomed for stardom. He's an ordinary guy. He said, there's no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. In fact, he was despised and rejected. When he came on the scene, people despised him. They rejected him. The problem they had with him is he could back up every word he said. If he wanted somebody to be healed, he could heal. If he wanted to give them life, he could give them life. If he wanted to give them sight, he could give them sight. If he wanted them to hear, he could heal their deafness. If he wanted them to walk, he could take care of that. He backed up everything he said. But people despised him. They rejected him. He said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We despised him. And we esteemed him not. We spend too much time trying to get our own self-esteem so we can be the big shot. Just an ordinary appearance. We're not talking about a showboat. In those 3.5 years that he comes upon the scene, that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't find him at parties. You don't find him where laughter is spread about. You find him where there's heartache. You find him where there's problems. You find him where there's things that need to be solved. That's where you find Jesus Christ. That's where he is. The Bible said he went about doing good for 3.5 years. And for that, they scream, crucify him. Crucify him. We hate this guy. And notice what we did here. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep. Notice this. Didn't say all we like pit bulls. All we like sheep. You know, sheep are tame animals, but sheep are dumb animals. I guess somebody said, you know, Jesus, he spent his time feeding the sheep, but you got to entertain the goats. We have a lot of that in churches today, too. You got both groups. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. didn't say we've all tore down the fence, grabbed the shepherd, beat him up, ran off, just hooked him, scattered all over the hillside. Said, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. I used to love the song. In fact, I said, this is my song. Most of you too young to know who Frank Sinatra was. Most of you too young now to know who Elvis was. Goodness, I'm getting old. But Frank Sinatra, who was the first Elvis that all the girls went crazy over, Frank used to sing, I did it my way. Let me tell you what, I did it my way. Ended up broke. Indicted. Drunk. Really came out a winner. You know. I remember driving into this town and I looked at my life and I said, I did it my way. Boy, what a mess. How much, I really believe it. I know I've told some of you this before, but I could stop anybody on the streets of Houston, Texas, the last year I was in town, and stop anybody on the street. Wouldn't make a difference what race it was, wouldn't make any difference what color it was, wouldn't make any difference what religion it was, wouldn't make any difference what nationality it was. I could stop anybody on the street and said, would you make my major decisions for me this year? And they could have done a better job of it than I was doing. But let me tell you something. You know what? You think I was going to do that? No, because I knew how to make the right decisions that totally ruined me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. Didn't say that we turned to drugs. Said we turned our own way. Didn't say we turned to alcohol. Said we turned our own way. Didn't say that we turned to porno. Said we turned our own way. I'm just going to do it my way. And that's why Jesus came in such conflict with us. Because Jesus said, I am the way. Now, if I'm going to do it my way, then I won't be doing it his way, will I? And that's where the conflict comes in. It doesn't have to do with a bunch of illegal things. It has to do with Christian things. It has to do with who's your way. Is it Jesus Christ or is it you? Everyone is turned to his own way. Now notice what Christ did. I just read verse 5, but he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. All of this Jesus did on a cross. Here's a man that had done nothing but help people. And they screamed, crucify him. The religious crowd wanted him dead. It wasn't the hookers and the drug addicts who screamed, crucify him. Now, they weren't trying to save him either. They weren't taking up for him. But the religious crowd was saying, crucify him. Get rid of him. He's no good. Because, I mean, surely you know there's something wrong with somebody that gives somebody's hearing back to them. Surely you know there's got to be something wrong with somebody that would give her sight back to them. Surely you'd know that to give a widow's son back to her after he's died and bring his life back, surely there's got to be something wrong with that guy. He certainly deserves to die, doesn't he? And this is what the whole crowd is saying about Jesus. This guy that's done nothing to help people. And he said, he was wounded, he was bruised, he was chastised. His stripes, and let me insert here just a little teaching right quick. But this, by his stripes we're healed, has nothing to do with physical healing. And we have people that take that verse sometimes and say, now we just believe that if you get sick, God's going to heal you. And that's fine to believe that. But I wouldn't check out the hospital just on that thought. You might want to get relieved. Let me show you something. Turn with me the First Peter, way over toward the end. You get to the book of Revelation, you're a little too far. Come back to First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He said, who our own selves bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He's talking about what Christ did on the cross. Salvation. Now notice the next verse, because it takes us right back to where we're reading tonight. Peter does. He said, for ye were as sheep going astray. And we're not all we like sheep have gone astray. This is salvation by his stripes, where everything is done on Calvary was to get us to heaven. He was wounded, suffered. Notice in verse 7 here, he said, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now notice this, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He said he looked at his travail. You remember the travail of his soul in the garden before they carried him to the cross that night? He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He prayed it once. He prayed it twice. He prayed it three times. And each time he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Christ took that cup. Cup that had mine and your putrefying sores in it. That cup that had our filthiness in it. That cup that had our sins in it. And he drank that cup to pay for mine and your debt. The Bible said God hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We just traded places, sir. No, sir. We don't run around. He just traded places with us. He took the sin. We got the righteousness. What a deal. What a deal. You mean I can give all of that fouled up life that I brought into this town? I can give that and get Jesus, and that would satisfy God. Notice what he said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That pleased God. That's satisfying. You don't see God satisfied. Most of us don't know if he's going to be too satisfied with us. If you don't see him satisfied, turn to his son. Turn to his son. That's where God's love is. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Real quickly over in the New Testament, about the sixth book. In the eighth chapter of Romans. Beautiful, fantastic chapter. The Holy Spirit chapter, actually, in the Bible. But in the 8th chapter of Romans, and then the last two verses. The last three verses. Let's take verse 37. Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen to what Paul said. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Where is it?
In the church?
No.
And religion?
No.
Which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
That's where the love of God is. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You can have that.
And that will satisfy God. Don't you bow your heads, Mama? And every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Nobody looking around. Just give me a few minutes with you. If you're being serious with yourself, if you're being honest with yourself, because it's just between you and God, not who's sitting next to you. Right out of your mind. It's just you and God for a moment. And you know, in your heart of hearts, that you're not God's child. You know that if this Bible is true, and you were to die tonight, by accident, we were discussing before the meeting tonight. Somebody walked up and said, you know, so and so just got hit by a car and got killed. We never know. But you said, Lily, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'm not God's child. I'm lost. And I don't want to be lost. I want to be God's child. I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me that I'd have the guts and the courage to do tonight what I need to do to get to heaven? Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up, head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, and you just say, I see your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, I see yours. Yes. So put them up and slip them right back down. Yeah. I see yours. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see yours. And on it, real quickly, we're going to pray. Yes, I see yours, sir. We're going to be honest tonight with God. Our Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that went up. Whether that was all that ought to go up or not, I don't know. You do. And the person that lifted the hand up or didn't know. But Father, this very night, may the words be so plain. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When Paul said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's about as simple as we can get it, Father. So, Father, this very night, I pray that in the next few minutes, and while I'm praying right now, that you're helping them. Say, Lord, I quit on me, and I start on you. I take you as my Savior. I trust Jesus Christ this very night, right now. And then, Father, there's some a long way from you. Father, if they're a Christian, it doesn't look much like it. And they know it. But Father, they can get that straight too. They can get them home tonight. Just as the prodigal son did, they can come back home. Nobody's ever started home that you didn't receive. So help them to come. As you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, Brother Charles always starts. One verse, just as I am. Those who lifted your hand, those that didn't and should have, would you come? In this very first verse, you'll have somebody to pray with you. Come on, let's talk to you about Christ right now.
Just as I am, without one thing, but that your God was shed for me, and that
simply this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's what Christ has done for you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I turn my heart as best I know how. I turn my heart and my life over to you. Best I know how. I'll tell you what, God's not trying to trick you. God's not trying to hide from you. God's not trying to sneak up on anybody. He's up front. Is anybody you ever going to be around? And you say, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And you say, Leland, I did that tonight. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. I say, you got to see yours, too. God bless you. You're the one I was talking to. God bless you, sir. Sorry we didn't have anybody to visit with you down here. Those that are lifting your hand, before you leave, tonight back there on that table where you go around, there's a little pamphlet, a little booklet that says, what have I done and what do I do now? Talks about salvation. You sit down with your Bible and you get a Bible here and you sit down with it in the quietness of your bedroom and go over it and know what God said. Not what I said, not what somebody else said, of how to get to heaven and then how the road's going to be on the way to heaven. It may get rough. But it tells us how to win if we follow the book. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for those that trusted you. Father, we're glad. We're so glad that you made it to where nobody else, if we were on a desert with nobody, with no soul within 1,000 miles of us, just through your word, we get to heaven. Just because of what Christ did and the promise you left us in your book. So, Father, bless you people. Bless those that made that decision tonight. Father, I even pray that you bless those that ought to, you give them another chance. have your own way now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. The refreshment bar is open. Don't run off if we can have you. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.